Hello everyone and welcome to the CMO Stories podcast episode 38. My name is Yuri Bilast and I'm your podcast host. If you aren't connected yet on social media, I think there is only one person with my name, Yuri Bilast. So be sure to find me on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram and so on. Today, I'm very excited. Actually, you won't know it, but it's already my fourth podcast episode today. And I'm excited to have someone from the Web3 space. And I'm really interested in that. And it's Aaron. Hi, Aaron. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm great. As I said, you know, fourth podcast episode. And already I also had a meeting in the metaverse today. So, I'm being, on screen all the time, but I would say interesting evolutions today in the market. And so I'm really happy to have you on my podcast because, guys, Aaron's full name is, let me check that I don't make any mistake, Aaron Wolner. And Aaron actually is the CMO of Quantiq. If you don't know Quantiq was born during the financial crisis as a small community bank in New York. And following the Dodd-Frank regulations, it was recognized as a community development financial institution bank. And this enables Quantiq to lend to people who have earned the opportunity to afford home ownership, but have traditionally been excluded. And as the first bank to offer Bitcoin rewards on debit purchases, Quantiq quickly shifted online so that they could serve more clients in more ways. And already they have like employees in 35 states across the US. So really, interesting. It's something new, this Web3 era that we are, going into. It's still, I would say, in the really early phase. Today I saw, this Gartner hype curve. We are still in the beginning, but you guys are really building something exciting new. And so then, I think it's a whole story behind it. So then my question would be what is Quantiq doing and what is the growth story behind this? Because I feel that you're really making growth here.
We are, yes. It's been very exciting. And so, Web3, you talk about the hype curve and there's a ways to go, right? We're talking about virtual reality. So Quantiq as a business, as a bank, and as a digital bank, we're living in reality still. But we thought it was important for us and for the future to explore the virtual space, to explore Web3 and set up an outpost in the metaverse. And that was one of the experimental things that we've done this year. But I think, the core business and the DNA of Quantiq, sort of who we are as a bank and our history, has really helped us stand out in a pretty crowded space. So I think our humble roots as you talked about sort of this being born out of the financial crisis a little over 10 years ago. So that shapes your identity, right? And so we succeeded early as a local small community bank. And then really over the past couple of years have fully transformed into a digital bank. We can prove that because there are no physical stores. So it's only Quantiq.com.
Right.
And so,
What I want to say is, digital bank, okay, they have a few also in Belgium, but the fact that you are, that you're offering Bitcoin rewards, on debit cards, that's something, unique. Never heard about that, that was possible even for a bank.
Yeah.
Because the financial world, it's very regulated world. So, how did you come up with that? And was it hard to offer those services? And I think you're really unique with those services.
Yeah. The short answer is yes, it was hard. And everything is hard in financial services, everything that's sort of new and cutting edge. And there's good reason for that, right? I think that we have to protect consumers. And the fact that, banks are regulated is a net positive. That's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. But there should be room for experimentation, right? Safe experimentation. There should be room for exploration. And so at least once a year, we want to take a big swing with a big idea. And a few years ago, that big swing was a crypto rewards card. And so we came up with the Bitcoin Rewards debit card, which is 1.5% back in Bitcoin. And we were first to market with that. And that was very exciting. It exists now in different forms and different shapes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But, to be first was quite exciting. Yes.
and also the why behind your company, because as I said in the beginning, you are enabling more people to afford like home ownership. Is that kind of one of the whys behind the company?
Absolutely. I think it is the why. You know, a lot of companies, they search long and hard for their why, right? Mm-hmm. Sort of one way to put it is their soul, right? And it's a funny thing. You know, we humans now are trying to make sure that everything has a soul, including corporations. Whether or not every corporation has a soul is debatable, right? I think because, you know, our why has been so clear to us from the start, we actually think we do have something at the center of what we do. And, you know, the soul, call it the culture, call it, you know, the intangible, but we legitimately help people, right? And I think the mortgage lending side of the business has really proven to be something that we're proud of, right? We're proud to help people that other standard big financial institutions, they can't help them. Their hands are tied, right? But as a CDFI, a community development financial institution, we're able to look at people more uniquely because you're unique, I'm unique, right? We're all unique in our own ways, but financially, and even more so, this has actually been a very interesting thing to see play out. Over the past few years since the pandemic, things have gotten a little bit stranger, right? Everyone's work life has gotten a little bit weirder, right? And so for everyone to be sort of this cookie cutter, you know, financial profile where you have this steady job year over year and you can qualify very easily for a standard 30-year mortgage, well, there's a whole lot of people that don't fit that. So we're really happy to help people where a lot of other banks just can't.
Yeah, right. You know, if you think about the big banks, you know, they are on the stock market and they need to make profit and so on. You have a certain image of those. And then the idea of the image that I have about your brand, even if I don't know it yet really good, it's like, yeah, it's way closer to people, to help them. And also the innovative side, of course, we already said you were the first bank to offer Bitcoin rewards. But not only that, there is also something where you are the first to offer. This is the kind of ring you have brought, put on the market, a unique wearable payments ring. And this is fascinating me. Can you tell a bit more about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, another good example of something new that was hard. And, you know, it's a ring, right? It's a ring that goes on your finger. Mm-hmm. And I think broadly speaking, we were able to just 3 or 4 months ago bring wearables, right, which is this new cutting edge technology, these things that you can wear that are connected to finance. And that was another really exciting breakthrough moment for us. And so that's been a lot of fun. I think the launch around that, you know, there was a lot that we sort of had figured out, you know, running towards this launch. And there was a lot that we didn't. And that motivated us. We kind of enjoyed that part. You know, what don't we know? And so we experimented a lot when we launched this thing. So instead of having, you know, a very, you know, black and white picture of, okay, this is who this is for, right? It's for, you know, techies who go hiking on weekends, you know, creating this artificial persona that, you know, marketers like me, it makes us feel, you know, safe, right? Because you can build a campaign around that.
Right.
And so it was hard for me and my team, but we didn't take that approach. And what we did was we created a number of different possible personas and set up a number of different sort of campaign types with different messaging. And we just sort of tested our way into it. And what we found was really interesting. And the fact is that we fell into, I like to say this was intentional, but it wasn't really.
Yeah.
We fell into something that really, it's a word of mouth product. Meaning from an advertising standpoint, the closer we zoomed in to this slick, you know, ring and that sort of levitated and had a shadow and, you know, ad units that showed your traditional plastic, you know, debit card in your old leather wallet and turn that into this floating, beautiful ring, right? Like that up close imagery worked. Now, one step further, seeing this in real life took this to the whole next level. And we've actually seen a lot of customers come in through word of mouth, not through our digital campaigns online. Because if you're at the front of the line at the cafe and you know, bump your hand over the payment system and voila, you just paid, you're going to get a reaction from people. Not every time, but a lot of the time you're going to get a reaction and people ask questions. Hey, what's that? How'd you do that? And that's a joyful moment. And so for us to put something out there that does that, we were really proud of that.
And it's word of mouth, meaning that people are talking about it or also sharing it with their friends on social media and so on, because it's people want to be unique, of course, in this age, and they share a lot on social media, I would imagine.
They do. It's funny. One of my team's jobs, of course, is to promote things across social, which we did. We tapped into some influencers and we put budget in different places.
Right.
And we had a handful of actually well done and well performing influencer videos that were completely overshadowed by the organic stuff, to your point, where you've got people on their own organically taking their own videos and getting excited about this thing. And that did way more for us than anything that, my team had sort of, promoted and paid for.
Right. And do you also have I remember when Apple came out with the iPhone and the iPad and so on, I was, queuing because I wanted that because it was really something that I like to have. But there was this scarcity aspect, of course. Is there also this scarcity aspect with your rings? Is there a limited number? How does that work? Is there a wait list or?
So there's no wait list.
Okay.
It is live and available and actually free still. We have a promotional campaign going now where if you sign up for a high interest checking account, the ring is free, which is pretty amazing. Meaning the business is consciously not looking at this as, a revenue generator. Mm-hmm. We believe it will be over time, but we want this to gain momentum. And we believe in order for it to gain momentum, the barrier of entry needs to be low, right? And so anyway, we're testing into this, but for now it is free. That comes with your new checking account. And yeah, it's just been a really fascinating thing for us to learn sort of what works and what connects and so on.
I could also imagine that, you get some press also with this innovative stuff that you're doing, because it's if people talk about it and you come into the media and then, of course, you get again more visibility. So from the marketing standpoint, you talked about organic, right? So it's something that really works for you.
Yes, absolutely. It's been hard. So getting really good, high quality consumer facing coverage, mm-hmm. That's one of those things that just isn't easy, right? We've been more able to secure really great PR coverage in industry, right? Mm-hmm. So when we launched, we did an exclusive, for example, with American Banker, right? Any person in banking worth their salt, in the United States. Yeah. Looks at that, maybe not daily, but certainly on the regular to sort of, keep tabs on the industry. So we've got some really good coverage specifically in industry. Mm-hmm. I think getting that breakthrough coverage, in a place like Wired, for example, which is, really, really natural fit with a, tech forward consumer type product, we could pay for it, right? We mm-hmm. want to earn it. And so, doing that takes time. And that's the stuff that we're constantly sort of working on, that sort of exposure.
Right. I also said in the beginning when I was reading your introduction that you have employees in 35 states already. So what are all these people doing? Are they already, delivering, or is it distribution, or are they working on the development side of things, or how does that work?
Yeah, everything. So
everything.
We do have little clusters. We're headquartered in New York City. So our headquarters mm-hmm. is in Midtown in One Rockefeller Center. And we do have sort of, a cluster of people in and around New York City. When I started at Quantic a few years ago, I also lived in New York City.
Right.
But like a lot of people, I moved and the pandemic, shook things up and moved people around. And we think that's okay. And until we're proven wrong, we want to hire the best people wherever they may be. In fact, mm-hmm. for me personally, I've hired some incredible talent for marketing because other companies, including our competitors, were requiring people to be 100% in office. And so Quantic, we don't care where you work from as long as you do great work.
Right.
And so we're all in. It's a little too late for us to pull back on that.
No, but that's okay. That's a choice. And actually, I'm doing the same with my virtual team, from everywhere, because I'm in Belgium, but my clients speak English. So, it's way more easy if I need to do like my competitors, I need to speak Dutch. And that's more difficult to have people, from everywhere helping me. But you have, of course, the United States is big. But the fact, to hire all these people, it's an advantage because you have a bigger market. Because if you need to find a talent, you need to have a big pool, of course. But on the other side, it's also, I guess, a challenge to manage all of that? Or do you have the, challenges with that? Is it all going smoothly? Because, working with people, it's always a challenge.
I'd love to say it's all going smoothly. I would say it's mostly going smoothly.
Okay. I just want to say that because, you have this image from an innovative company with all those things. Yeah. So people expect, I guess, also to have like an innovative way of working together, not like the standard way of coming to the office.
We do. So it's culture is something that we take really seriously, actually. And so we have a chief empowerment officer, which, I'm not sure if you can find another, company with that position. So
no.
This person's basically her entire job is to look after the culture, right? And make sure people are supported, feel supported, and that we're having some fun along the way because banking is serious business. And, you can, just like everything else, it can become a grind. And so what are the tactics? What are the ways in which we can get through that and have a bit of fun while being all over the place, right? While being, I'm in my basement right now. It looks like right. You may be yours. So when you were having a bad day, right, and you were in this like lively office, there were things that would happen that naturally sort of pulled you out of it, right? Mm-hmm. So we think a lot about this stuff. How do we make those moments and how do we make sure that people are doing okay and feeling good? And so we're conscious about that. I think it's more of a practice than anything else. One of the things that my team does is we get together at least twice a year, hopefully three, and we call it a marketing on-site. And we get together in Midtown Manhattan, and it is 3 or 4 days of light workshops and sharing, but really it's about being together. And I think that has really worked well for me and my team is when we're together, right? Just that those little bits throughout the year is that we just focus on being together. And that's dinners, that's Yankees games, that's bowling, that's restaurants, that's, it's just being together, and there's a lot of value in that, especially when we're all spread apart.
Yeah, because, it's team building, I would call it, but if you don't see each other most of the time, then the time that you spend together, that's really bonding and, having people with working together as a team, because that can be a challenge, of course, if everyone is on other locations. But if everyone has the same mindset and you do these things, I think it can really work. And if you never know what will happen in the future, but if you're already organized like that, cannot have problems anymore with COVID coming back or whatever.
That's right.
But another challenge I would think of, it's perhaps the general perception of people, about crypto, because you see we talked about the hype cycle. So a lot of people say, we need to buy crypto and, and then, of course, crypto goes down and then you have people asking questions. Is that, the evolutions of the cryptocurrencies, does that have an impact on your business?
No, not at all. And that was the beauty of what we did, I think, meaning that, and this was another sort of marketing lesson, you might assume that when you launch something like a crypto reward card, right? It would be for the early adopters, the crypto enthusiasts. What we found was we found much more success with the crypto curious. And the reason for that is if you are serious and you are into it, then you are probably very proactive moving a lot of money around, right? And so Quantic is not the custodian of Bitcoin at any point in time. We have a partner that is actually the financial custodian of Bitcoin.
Okay.
And so we give you back, technically speaking, from a balance sheet perspective, we're dealing with money, we're dealing with cash, but we have a crypto partner that is the custodian of the actual Bitcoin. And so we're isolated as a, as an institution from the ebbs and flows of Bitcoin, which is important to us, right? And then from a customer perspective, the beauty is that you're earning Bitcoin, you're not buying it, right? And so everything is a net positive. If you spend, $2,000 a month on your card, you're earning that percent in Bitcoin in the form of rewards. You're not buying anything. So if it goes up and it goes down a little bit, just enjoy the ride, right?
Right. Yeah, that's, I think, because you're buying stuff and you get those rewards. That's different when you buy cryptos and then You see that because it was in the news, a couple of like Web3 companies did bankruptcy or, you know, and people losing money and so on. But this is the beauty, is that they are spending money and they can get the rewards for that. So that's, who wouldn't want that? So, if you see now, because, okay, there is a lot of evolution in the market, but you see happening for your business or for the market in, I would say, the next year, because already 12 months is long for Bitcoin. Are there any exciting evolutions that you see happening?
For crypto, I think, you know, when things are hot, you know, there's the hype machine. And when things are cold, there's also the hype machine, right? So, you know, the crypto winter is being talked about as happening now for crypto. And, you know, like I said, we're sheltered, we're isolated from those ups and downs, which is where we want to be as a financial institution. But we still believe in the long curve of that. So anything that we have done from an innovation standpoint, we fundamentally believe in, right? Mm-hmm. And that goes for crypto, right? That goes for wearables, that goes for the metaverse and Web3. And while we haven't talked about that quite yet, but you know, it's very much the promise of what's to be versus what's there today. And so, you know, all those examples of innovative things that Quantic's been able to do over the past couple of years, mm-hmm. we fundamentally believe in, you know, in the long curve for those.
Yeah, we talked about the metaverse. It's really early. When you look at the hype cycle, it's really early. As I said, I was in a meeting now in the metaverse. Has Quantic any, if you can share it, are there any plans to do something with the metaverse in the near future?
We're in the metaverse, yeah.
You're already there. And so, I was wondering because not so many people are there because banks, people, you know, are just thinking is the metaverse. So you are there. So people can buy stuff within the metaverse, can, you know, spend things on, can credit card, can have rewards in the metaverse, or how should I see that?
Yeah. So we promoted it when we launched a few months ago. Okay. To our customers first, but anyone could basically go to our site and navigate to our metaverse page. And we had a very sort of welcoming, inviting approach to this. And we know that most people don't really know, and, you know, me included, and I think even the experts, right? Because what is Web3 mm-hmm. today? It's still, I think, you know, something that's developing quickly. What is it, right?
It's an umbrella, yeah.
And so we put on the page and throughout the experience, very sort of explanatory copy throughout. This is what Decentraland is. This is what an NFT is. Right. This is, so we sort of welcome people in very easy to understand words. And so you can jump in. The call to action on the page is actually jump in. It will take you to Decentraland. It will take you to our Quantic outpost. So we have two plots of land that we purchased. We built a beautiful building. It's got interactive elements. The design is meaningful to us. The base of the bank in the metaverse and Decentraland is the sort of raw concrete that has graffiti on it, right? So we've got this sort of cutting edge fintech foundation, right? That's our foundation. And on top of that is this very classic bank, right? With like big columns and it's beautiful. And there's a red carpet and you walk up these stairs and you walk into the building and it's a bank. There's a teller named Steve, who's my boss and CEO. We had some fun with that. You can interact with Steve, ask him questions. There's posters on the wall that could bring you back to our, you know, web2.com to explain more about various things that we're promoting, like the ring, like crypto.
Right.
And then and a lot of this stuff is, you know, experimental. So what we learned is that people in the metaverse and Decentraland specifically like to find things. They like to explore and find. And so there is an ATM on the wall. And if you press the button, this very traditional bank vault opens up. And if you walk through the bank vault, you're in the back. And in the back is a beautiful sort of pool and almost pool party scene with a DJ and lights and music. And it's just a bunch of fun. And we're actually also giving away free NFTs back there in the pool party area. So we had some fun with it as well.
Whoa, that sounds really amazing. You know, I'm already exploring all of that, but I hadn't heard about an ATM in the central land and that you can, you know, it's there is so much things to do. And I guess of course, for you in your role and, you know, keeping up with all these different possibilities and making all these things work. And you know, that will be really be a challenge. And but it's really good to hear about all those opportunities and that from a bank, because, you know, the image that banks have, it's really, you know, traditional. I would not expect that a bank does stuff like that you guys are doing. So that's really amazing. Congrats with that. If people are interested, you know, in having such a ring, where should they go, Aaron? How can they apply for such a ring?
Yeah, quantic.com. It'll be right there.
Just through the website, just easy as that. Yeah. And if people want to connect with you personally, social media, it's still web too, but are you active on social media, or is that something that your team does, or are you yourself active on social media?
Yeah, personally, I'm on LinkedIn. Happy to connect with anybody. But yes, Quantic is on all the major social platforms. And, you know, like you said, we are doing things differently. And a lot of this is, you know, an exercise. And I firmly believe that, you know, the best way to understand something is to do it yourself. And so it's not just me personally, but Quantic and the marketing team that I run for Quantic, right? So if we're trying to grapple and understand these, you know, complex things that are happening in financial services or even, you know, in tech in general, you know, how do we really form an opinion on that? Well, do it, right? And so that's what we did with the metaverse. You know, nobody quit their day job in terms of, you know, the brand or customer acquisition the stuff that we were doing. Yeah. But on the side, over the course of months, we were able to stand something up in Decentraland and have an outpost. You'll notice I'm not saying branch because I can't. It's not a branch. You cannot conduct business. And so that's where regulatory stuff kicks in. And so we need to figure out, you know, a safe way to, you know, run these sorts of exercises. And at the end of the day, it exercises our muscles. And we get a very clear perspective on, you know, the new things that are developing. And we then can then have an opinion, an informed opinion on where to place our bets, where to spend our time. And that's been really helpful for us.
Right. And of course, if you have like-minded people in the team that all are curious about Web2, you can, you know, discuss about your experiences and you can brainstorm together and, yeah, I think, and like that, amazing things happen, like this ring, for instance. So thank you very much, Aaron. It was a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Yes, thank you so much. It was a blast.
I will have, you know, all your links. I'll put them in the show notes. So if people want to reach out to you or want to know more about Quantic for the ring, for instance, they know where to find you. So guys, it was, again, a fascinating episode. If you are interested in learning more about Web3, or if you have like nice ideas about marketing, nice concepts, just contact me. I would love to have you on the podcast. And if you like this episode, be sure to follow us on social media and to follow the podcast, because there are new amazing guests coming up. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope to meet you again for the next podcast episode. Bye.